Could everyone hear? Okay, when we think of comfort, many things come to mind. Every one of us has our own go-to worldly comfort that we lean on daily. Examples would be a simple can of soda, coffee, Danish, fast food, your perfect pillow, movies, best friends, our mobile devices, etc. These are all things that make us happy for the moment. Comforts like this are not bad things. They just ease some of the hardships that we had for that particular moment or day. The Webster Dictionary defines the word comfort as a transitive verb, number one, to give strength, number two, to ease the grief or trouble of, and then the Greek word for comfort for Greg and Kip is paraklesis, meaning a calling to one's aid, i.e. encouragement, and comforter and comforter in Greek is parakletos, translated as advocate. Our comforter in the Bible is the Holy Spirit. Last week, Kip said there is over 101 words to describe Jesus. Two of my favorite words to describe our Lord is counselor and comforter, both meaning advocate or helper. Romans 8:26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Another example would be found in 1 John 2:3. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. How amazing is Jesus that He does this for us on a daily basis. See, before Jesus went to the cross, we were God's enemies. But because of this, because of His death and resurrection, we now have peace with God because He is our advocate. And Romans 5:1-2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into His grace, which we now stand. Jesus is like our lawyer, advocating for us before God, allowing that peace that comes from God into our lives. No matter what's going on in our lives, rest assured that His peace is with us, and that's comforting because I know how bad I could get sometimes. 2 Corinthians 1:3-5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow into our lives, so also, through Christ, our comfort overflows. On a personal note, whenever disaster strikes in my life, I feel a lot closer to God, for some reason. When things are great, I notice that I distance myself without realizing that I'm doing it. So lately, during prayer, I make sure to thank Him for everything that's going on in my life. I praise Him for the... good things, and ask for help with the bad things. He's shown me that there are way too many good things in my life than bad. And that's comforting to know. He's always there for us even when we are not. And when we ask for His guidance instead of complaining about our problems, He immediately maps out the situation and offers avenues of relief. Relying on His wisdom gives us so much more hope than we ourselves could have done. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Be joyful always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Doing the Lord's work, it can be hard sometimes, but when He calls you to do it, just know that it is His will, and He will provide everything you need, including time, as in my case. He also provides comfort when we are weak or can't handle the stress of the job or when you are just fed up. Remember the vine that grew to shade Jonah in Jonah 4:6? Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort, and Jonah was very happy about the vine. All the prophets went through hard times, self-doubt, physical exhaustion, but the Lord always showed them comfort and provided for them. 1 Kings 17:2-6. 1 Kings 17:2-6. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered ravens to feed you there. So he did what the Lord told him. He went to the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And also, when Ahab was about to kill Elijah, because Elijah had put to death all the prophets of Baal, 1 Kings 19:3-9. Elijah was afraid, and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the desert, he came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went to a cave and spent the night. God comforts us in many ways and knows exactly what we need, just like in Elijah's case. Even when our lives seem shipwrecked, He always comes through because He loves us. When we quiet things around us and listen to what He has to say, we will truly be comforted. Paul, on his way to Rome as a prisoner, was on a boat. It was stormy the whole time, and the crew was struggling to keep the boat from breaking up because of the rough water. Paul had warned the centurion to stop sailing at the place called Fair Havens in Crete, but the owner of the boat and crew wanted to press on. Finally, the storm got so bad that the crew had to throw the tackle and cargo overboard. And Acts 27:21-44. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice and not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God, whom I serve, stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God, and it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.' On the 14th night, we were being driven across the Adriatic Sea. When about midnight, sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed up against the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it fall away. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. "For the last 14 days," he said, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." After he had said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there was 276 of us on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship, throwing the grain into the sea. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could, cutting loose the anchors. They left them in the sea at the same time, untied the ropes that held the rudders, then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping, but the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached the land in safety. Sometimes the Lord tells us to do things that we don't do. He gives us signs and warnings, and finally an ultimatum. His desire for us is to accept His help and to go to Him in prayer and worship. Paul was concerned for his life and the lives of the men on board, but God's plans always unfold for the benefit of those He loves. Paul was used to comfort the men by the comfort he had received from the angel of the Lord, and no one died. Paul, as a prisoner, finally made it to Rome, and to his comfort, brothers from all over came to see him. Acts 28:11-16. Acts 28:11-16. "After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figureheads of the twin gods Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there for 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived in Rhegium. The next day, the south wind came up, and on the following day, we reached Puteoli. There, we found some brothers who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we came to Rome. The brothers there had heard we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum and Appius and 3 taverns to meet us. At the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. We got to Rome, and Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him." Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And in Isaiah 41:10, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Psalm 119:76. "May your unfailing love be my comfort according to your promise to your servant." Isaiah 51:12. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you fear mortal men, sons of men who are but grass?" Psalm 119:50, my comfort in my suffering is this, your promise preserves my life. Job 5:11, the lowly he sets on high, and those who mourn are lifted to safety. And Isaiah 66:13, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you and will be comforted, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. The comfort Jesus bestows on us is everlasting. Temporary comfort from the world is only satisfying for the moment, for it all fades away. Seeking the will of God through the Holy Spirit brings us to an everlasting comfort that does not fade. He makes us joyful in any situation and provides comfort that the world does not know. When our joy is made complete in Him, we are obeying Him and remaining in His love, and not a love for ourselves, for He loves us more than we love ourselves. Our hope is in Him. And then John 14:15-21, Jesus gives us this promise. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. And to conclude, Psalms 91:1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust.